This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at reservebar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the replacement pro. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host for the day, Dan Harris. With me is Kyle Yates. We are talking about players that we are avoiding this year. Yates, we talk about vacated targets sometimes. I know Tags hates it, but we talk about that sometimes. There's no Tags on the show. There's no Joe on the show. That's like 90% vacated airtime. So the people are here ready for you to talk. Are you ready to dig in to players that we're going to be avoiding this year?
This will be the shortest Fantasy Pros Football Podcast that we will ever do.
That's probably right. What's funny is that I talk a lot. So the fact that Joe is now on board and it's like, where's that quiet guy that used to host the show? That's kind of my jam. I'm feeling that. But yeah, we're going to get right into it. Whatever. Yates and I, we've done like 18 podcasts today already. Anyway, so let's get into this. As I said, we're going to be talking about players that we are avoiding, 15 of those players, in fact. But let's get it out of the way because I want to make this clear because I get this all the time. This is not a do not draft list. Okay, you know about our expert consensus rankings. We also have consensus average draft position. So you can see where players are going across various sites. This is a players to avoid at their ADP or at their cost. There comes a point where every single player is draftable. We are just avoiding these guys at their cost. All right, are you ready to jump into it?
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you included that because I put out a recent article saying my players to avoid, and I made sure to hammer home in there that I would love to have these players on my fantasy football roster, right? These players that we're going to talk about are good football players, and they can be fantasy relevant, but at their current price, it's enough for me to just say, okay, this is a little bit too far. Let's pull things back a little bit. If they fall a little bit in ADP or stuff like that, then I'll be drafting them, but the risk is not worth the reward.
Yeah, now there are certain players where maybe they actually fall on like a do not draft list. Like probably David Johnson is somebody who I'm just going to be looking at. And every single time when he falls six rounds past where I have him ranked, I'm still going to be like, I don't know if I can pull the trigger. But for the most part, it just is based on their ADP. So remember that as we go through it. But before we do, let's talk very briefly about our Discord over at fantasypros.com/chat. So, okay, we talk about Discord. What is it? Discord's basically like a giant chat room, but with a couple of added bonuses, such as Ask Me Anything's AMAs for only our subscribers. Discord stages, that's where you actually get to talk to us, like voice talk to us. We pull you up on stage and we have a nice little AMA that way. And then there are different channels covering every topic imaginable, okay, where you can talk to other Fantasy Pros subscribers, and we are in there as well. So what are some of those channels? Draft rankings, trade advice, waiver wire, best ball, dynasty keepers, 2QB Superflex, IDP, Devi, and a ton more. Now, non-subscribers do get access to Discord, but there is really just one channel for them to kind of talk about whatever they want, which is a general channel. This is really something extra that we have offered to our subscribers so that you guys can get the most out of your Fantasy Pros subscription. It is included in our draft kit. So again, go to fantasypros.com/chat. All right, Yates, players to avoid. Let's start with running backs here. That's what people like to hear about. So let's start with a running back that you are avoiding, again, at their current cost in your fantasy drafts.
Yeah, for me, that's Cam Akers at RB11 in current ADP consensus. So with Cam Akers, an incredibly talented running back, I said when he was coming into the NFL that I said he was more of an athlete than a refined running back, and that he was going to take some time to develop. Throughout the course of last season, we saw him take significant strides forward as a pure running back. We saw him really develop, and he was getting a massive workload towards the end of last season, where we saw Daryl Henderson, who is a very, very talented running back, move to the bench. So now, moving into 2021, people want to take what we saw at the end of last year with Cam Akers, which was like a 4-game sample size, and they want to extrapolate that on a 17-game season. And I just don't think that that's wise. Where Cam Akers, this offense, yes, is about to take a step forward. He should be more involved around the goal line. The scoring opportunities are going to be there. But for him to assume a 300-plus carry workload or even a 250-plus carry workload, I just don't think that that's something that I can get behind. He's not heavily involved as a receiver either. Maybe Matthew Stafford changes that, but we've seen Stafford target his receivers deep downfield anyway. So it's not like he's, you know, a checkdown king or anything like that. With a 17-game season, I think that NFL coaches are going to be heading into this season way more hesitant to give these unproven running backs, these guys that, you know, we haven't seen, they're not Derrick Henry, the Derrick Henry that we've seen, you know, manage 300 plus carries year in and year out. I just don't think that we're going to see them give them a massive workload to right out of the gate and try to sustain that the entire year. We've even seen Cam Akers deal with some injury in his rookie season. All that goes together for me to say that I think we're going to see a split here. Not a 50-50 split, but I do think we're going to see Daryl Henderson involved enough in this backfield to where they keep Cam Akers fresh for a deep playoff run. This is how NFL coaches think, where Sean McVay is going to look at his team, look at the defense that he's got, now look at the quarterback with Matthew Stafford and what this offense can be, and say, we are contenders in the NFC. Like, there is a very realistic possibility that we're looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Los Angeles Rams competing for the NFC championship this year. So if that is the case, you want your running back fresh for when it counts. And that is not to start week one, giving him 29 carries like he had in a game last year. I think we're going to see a much more balanced approach from this offense as far as their running backs. We saw Sean McVay talk about it last year. That just goes together for me to say Cam Akers, I've got him at RB16 in my rankings. If he falls a couple spots, I'm fine taking him. But at RB11, that's assuming that he's getting this guaranteed workload, and I just want to pump the brakes on that a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you mentioned it because, yeah, he is 11 in consensus ADP. He's also 11 in consensus ECR. So you're at 16 with him. So let me name a couple of guys here and let me know whether or not you're taking them over Cam Akers. Let's go to the current 16 in ECR. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, are you taking him over Akers or Akers?
I would take Akers there.
How about Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins?
That is super close. I think I have Dobbins. I'm checking right now. I have Dobbins at RB19, actually, so I would take Akers there.
Okay. How about, well, we know Joe Mixon, of course. How about Najee Harris?
I would take Najee Harris there. I've got Najee Harris at RB10 on the year.
Last one, Antonio Gibson.
I would take Gibson.
Okay. So next question that I have for you is, you know, I understand, and again, you're right, we saw sort of this explosion over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season that we didn't see before that. But are you similarly writing off Jonathan Taylor and what we saw? Also a young back, obviously, also exploded, also has other people there who are going to take away workloads. Are you fading Jonathan Taylor at all, given the same rationale that you're using essentially for Cam Akers? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I'm really not. And the difference there is the receiving work that Jonathan Taylor has that Cam Akers at least didn't have last year. So with Jonathan Taylor, he scored a ton of touchdowns, but he also had, let me look this up in a second, but he also had plenty of targets that were able to sustain that volume, right? And to be able to sustain that value. So right now I've got JT at RB8 on the year because you're not going to see every single target go to Nyheim Hines. In this backfield in Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor had 40 targets last year. So I think if he hits that number again this year, maybe even sees an uptick, then that's enough to keep him in the top 10 on top of his workload on the ground, which should be actually pretty comparable to Cam Akers, plus the scoring opportunities in that offense in Indianapolis.
And to be fair, I mean, I think having him at 8th is mildly fading Jonathan Taylor, considering that his ADP is 6. So if you want to say that, but that's understandable. I'm not sure. I think your point about the fact that it's a longer season, and I do think that the Rams certainly have justifiable Super Bowl aspirations. So I think in that sense, I think them being more careful with Cam Akers than I think they might otherwise would is a good point. I also think, and again, we've mentioned Daryl Henderson, not we, because this is basically my first time on the podcast, but Daryl Henderson obviously is a great sort of later round pick, both as a handcuff and because he'll probably get more work than people think. So I don't mind it. I'm not fading him. I have him at 11, but again, in that area, it's pick or choose a little bit. It's not a huge difference for me. So I'm not fading him, but I think your points are valid. I'll get to a guy
Really quick, pretty crazy. I looked this up. Jonathan Taylor, I have projected for 271 rush attempts on the season. Cam Akers, 271.
Okay. All right.
So the difference there is 4.7 yards per carry from a projection standpoint for JT. And then I think I've got Akers at 4.1. Or
and
3.9,
out of curiosity, how many catches do you have Akers and Taylor for?
Yeah, so I have Akers with 29 receptions on the year, and then I have JT with 37.
I think that's a little bit of the difference. I have him with 40 receptions on the year. So I think that's probably what the difference is that makes him up. And I just, I think he's probably going to be a little more involved. You know, there's no Malcolm Brown this year. I think he's going to be a little more involved in the passing game. And that really is, again, it's probably a difference of roughly what over the course of the season, 10 fantasy points or something, what we're talking about. And that's probably where you and I come with the difference. But again, I don't hate any of the points that you're making. And I do think that a little caution is at least warranted, even though, again, I'm basically willing to take him at what his ADP and his ECR is. A guy who I'm not willing to take at his ADP or his, well, at his ECR I might be, but at his ADP is Josh Jacobs, who is 16.7, the consensus ADP in half PPR, and he's 13th if you're drafting on Fantrax. He's got an ECR of 21. I'm actually have him at 23. So objectively, Josh Jacobs has had kind of a solid couple of seasons here, and especially, last year, he's averaged 21 touches per game over the last two seasons, 19 total touchdowns. He averages 1,300 yards from scrimmage. All very good, but Tags has mentioned this before. When you roster Josh Jacobs, you did not feel like you were rostering an RB1 last year, regardless of his finish. You just never felt great about it. And again, he had Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. Now you have Kenyon Drake as a guy who's going to steal some touches. And a big thing with Jacobs is the touchdowns. He was second in the NFL with 66 red zone rushing attempts last year, and those accounted for 11 of his 12 touchdowns. So he's going to cede some of that, certainly, to Kenyon Drake. Also, I mean, look, I'll throw it to you because I know you and Tags were fighting a little bit over the state of the Dolphins offensive line last week. I bet you were a little more bullish on them. I'm not a huge fan of the Raiders offensive line. I mean, I don't think it's the worst in the league. And again, they drafted. Right. Okay, good. I didn't want to go out there and you'd be like, what are you talking about? What's going on? We talked about it during the draft. They drafted Leatherwood, which I think everybody kind of scratched their head at a little bit. So there are guys that are going after him, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DeAndre Swift, who I know you're not a huge fan of, and we'll talk about in a bit, but Chris Carson, even David Montgomery. I'm taking all of those guys above Josh Jacobs. What are your thoughts on him coming into the season?
Yeah, well, with Josh Jacobs, I've got him now at RB21 in my rankings, and he's RB17 in ADP consensus. So it's not that drastic of a difference, but I just can't see myself pulling the trigger on drafting Josh Jacobs just because he's one of these guys that I feel like falls into the same territory as David Montgomery or Chris Carson. I have a little bit more optimism on Chris Carson, but with Montgomery and these other guys in this, it just feels like it's a safe pick. Like, it's one that I feel like I can value him as a low-end RB2. I can plug him into my lineup. I know that he's going to get volume on the ground. But with Kenyon Drake in town, all the workload as far as a receiver is now just out the window. Like, they're going to move Kenyon Drake heavily around this formation. At least that's what they said they're going to. They call him a joker in this offense, right? To be able to move him around and get him in different spots in the formation and get him scheme touches. So that just completely limits Josh Jacobs' upside. And the thing that, the reason why I'm glad that you're mentioning him here is because we're starting to see people come back to the table now, as far as people who are now starting to pay attention to fantasy football. We've got the diehards that pay attention all offseason, but the majority start to come back here in mid-July and start to pay attention. So they're going to see Josh Jacobs' name. They're going to see that he finished as a top 12 running back last year. At least I think he did off the top of my head.
Yes.
And then, and then they're going to be like, well, why? This is a crazy value on Josh Jacobs. I'm getting him as the RB17 off the board. I'll draft him. And we slowly see his ADP uptick. And that's where it's just going to become, that divide is going to become even more, where I've got him at RB21. He's at RB17. I wouldn't be shocked if we get to the point where he's at RB14, RB13 in ADP. And that's just too much for me to invest in. So yeah, I'm out.
I think for the most part, the people who are going to be out on Josh Jacobs are the people who rostered him last year, if for no other reason than the Instagram post that totally screwed everybody over when they thought he was going to be out. But anyway, I mentioned that Jacobs' ADP is 13 over at Fantrax. Now, that's a little crazy, but Fantrax overall is not crazy. Look, there are a lot of platforms out there where you can host your fantasy football league. They're just not all the same. Half of them are not user friendly. It takes you forever to figure out how to, you know, put in a waiver claim or something like that. Others are really limited in what you're allowed to do in terms of customizing the scoring format, everything like that. Sometimes I like having weird custom scoring, right? Like I like bonuses for 40-yard plays or top seeds getting to pick their opponents or something in the playoffs. That's why I do play most of my leagues on Fantrax. The free NFL Fantasy Football League Manager is the most customizable, easy to use, and feature-rich platform in the entire industry. In a redraft league, are you in a dynasty league? Are you in a best ball league? Whatever it is, you can customize it exactly as you want over on Fantrax. And if you're coming from another site, that is absolutely no problem. Fantrax can import any of your current leagues and customize them as needed. It's not just for advanced crazy leagues, by the way, easier. I do want to make that clear because I know the customizing portion of it, it's awesome, but just regular garden variety leagues, just play on Fantrax. You'll see it's really, really awesome and it's great, just user-friendly and intuitive. And you know what else is great? A signed Josh Allen jersey, and you have a chance to win one when you go over to Fantrax.com/fantasypros. Again, that is Fantrax.com/fantasypros for the chance to win a signed Josh Allen jersey. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. All right, Yates, let's go to another running back here. Who else are you fading and avoiding at their current ADP?
Yeah, you mentioned him earlier, and that's DeAndre Swift. And the difference here, again, in my rankings, it's very similar to the guy that we just talked about. It's not a drastic difference where I've got him in my rankings versus where his ADP is. But with DeAndre Swift being valued right now, where is he? He is, I'm trying to, RB18. And I've got him in ADP, and I've got him at RB22. So again, just a difference of four spots here, like Josh Jacobs, where it's enough for me to have concern. Now, people have been all in my mentions this entire offseason, as I've said about DeAndre Swift, that I will probably have zero shares of him across the board. And they've said, well, look at the volume in this offense. Like, there's no one else here that he can make up for it with a ton of receiving work. And I get that. But when you are doing projections and you sit down and you look at the potential overall plays ran for this offense, it's going to be very similar to what we've seen with New York, the Jets, and Jacksonville over the past couple of years. They're going to be at the bottom of the league in terms of overall plays ran. This offense is not going to be a good offense. This team is not going to be a good team, where we could see them compete with Houston for the number one overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft. If that's the case with DeAndre Swift, and this is, has nothing to do with this talent, I love the talent, but when you're looking at that situation and the fact that they brought in Jamal Williams, Anthony Lynn has talked about how he wants to utilize multiple running backs. So now you're forfeiting work, not only on the ground, potentially the goal line because of Jamal Williams' size, but then Williams is also a capable receiver in his own right. You're splitting that work, which is a smaller pie to begin with, then you're splitting it with Jamal Williams. That's enough for me to knock him down my board here, where I don't think scoring opportunities are going to be there a ton. So DeAndre Swift, I've got right behind Josh Jacobs there at RB22. That's enough for me to say I'm avoiding him at his current price.
Yeah, it's interesting. His ADP is 18th, but his ECR is actually 16th. That surprises me that the ECR is higher. Now, Yates, I mean, we do projections. You and I both do it. Out of curiosity, how many receptions do you have Swift projected for? Because this is sort of where, for me, it's hard for me to move him down too much, given how many receptions I have him getting.
Sure. So I have Swift with 71 targets, 54 receptions. I've got Jamal Williams with 60 targets, 49 receptions.
Okay. All right. So I think probably the difference is, again, not a huge difference. I have him 18th. I have him right where his ADP is. And again, at this, it's a fade. Yeah, it's because we're talking right about, you know, you're avoiding him based on that it is. But again, this is not something where it's like, oh my God, I'm drastically out on DeAndre Swift. You won't have any shares because you have him four or five spots. You're in that range. That's where somebody else is going to take him before you. But I think that's what it is. I think a lot of this is just a little bit of talk about Jamal Williams. His contract, I get Lynn. He likes to feature two backs in the end. I don't see him factoring into the passing game quite as much. It's not a drastic difference or anything like that. But I do think that I'm willing to take Swift around where he's going, because I do think that, like, look, eventually they have to know, like, Jamal Williams is a perfectly capable back. I don't mean to disparage him in any way. He really is. But he's not DeAndre Swift, who was, you know, pretty great out of, I think he had 1.58 yards per run. I think that was the number. And that's a ton for a rookie running back. And again, it's a sticky stat. I use it more for receivers, not as much for running backs. But still, I think the volume is going to be there enough in the passing game to justify. But I really, again, at that, where we are in the range, what's the difference? Yeah, so you have the fantasy points up. What's the difference between your like 18th ranked running back and your 22nd ranked running back in fantasy points?
204 fantasy points to DeAndre Swift at 189.
Okay. Yeah. So that's like a point a game, you know, less than a point a game, essentially, mm-hmm. like that. So I like it. All right. I'm with you. Again, I'm it's sort of like Acres. I completely understand your points. I'm pretty much in line with the market, but I get where you're coming from. So let me talk about somebody else here. And that's somebody who I know that people do not want to fade this year. And you probably don't want to fade him. And it's Javonte Williams. He's got an ADP of 30. He's got an expert consensus ranking of 27. I have him at 34. Now, the Broncos traded up to get him. I understand a 40th and a fourth rounder to move up to 35. He is a talented running back. I like what I've seen of him on tape. Absolutely. He's good in the passing game. He breaks a lot of tackles. But I think, again, I'm a little higher on Melvin Gordon than I think most analysts are. Not a ton. But basically, when we break down who we're taking in this conglomerate of running backs, I usually side towards Gordon because absent the suspension, which is still on the table, I do think that he's still going to be the guy who's going to be the main guy there. And I know he's not going to be the only one, but I think it's going to be really hard to supplant him. And you know, we did a podcast earlier this week, Yates, where I wanted to we kind of skipped over Williams. We were going to talk about him and then things just got moving. But it is something that I want to give a shout out to, you know, really sharp analyst out there, Dwayne McFarland. And he tweeted something out, which is the history of second round running backs since 2007. 41% of them finished as top 36 PPR running backs in their rookie year. So number one, 41%, not that great a number. And we're talking top 36 in PPR. That's not exactly a great number. So you're already kind of behind the eight ball. That's in a vacuum. But what about when you have an aging starter, which I think there were a couple different categorizations. I think Melvin Gordon probably falls into the aging starter, let's say that, mm-hmm. for the guy in front of him. That drops to 29%. It's just really hard to supplant a guy and really make a move on a guy that's kind of entrenched in there. And I think Gordon, for the most part, is. So for me, I get it, but I'm going to side with taking, I'll take Michael Carter over him personally. I know a guy that you and I both kind of like. I'll probably take Damian Harris over him when push comes to shove. So he's a guy who I think in the end, I know there's excitement. It's one that could easily come back to burn me, especially in the second half of the season. But for now, if the Broncos are a little better than has been, which I expect, I think they're just going to lean more into the veteran presence. So I'm avoiding Williams right now at his current cost.
There are certain offenses that are pretty easy to project. Like you can sit down and there are one or two clear options at the wide receiver position and you just allocate a very similar target share to what they've had in previous years. And you kind of just go and you're pretty much done with that team pretty quickly. But then you get to Denver this year and it's like there is a huge margin for error as far as projections this year because of how loaded this offense is. Now, at the running back position, you might be able to spin a narrative there as far as projections to be able to say, like, I've got Javonte Williams at RB26. I've got Melvin Gordon at RB28. So I do think that Gordon is still going to be heavily involved in this offense. I think Javonte Williams is eventually going to take over as the season goes on, and that's how I've got it built into my projections. But a large portion of that comes from his work as a receiver and the targets that I've got sent his way. But what happens if Teddy Bridgewater, if he is a starter here, or Drew Lock, what happens if he wants to feature Cortland Sutton? If he wants to feature Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant? Like, there's a huge margin for error here, because if you don't get the target shares right with this offense as it is, as a very loaded offense, then you're going to miss pretty drastically on projections here. So I do like Javonte Williams this year. I think that we need to kind of pull the reins back in a little bit here to say, like, I don't think he's going to have like a J.K. Dobbins season from last year where it kind of emerges as the season goes on. I do think we're going to see Melvin Gordon involved all the way through. And then next year is when we see Javonte Williams completely take over. But if we do see something happen to Melvin Gordon, whether it's via the suspension or an injury or something like that, then that's where we could see Javonte Williams just absolutely take over, because I think he's got the talent to be a top 12 fantasy running back.
Yeah, I'm in pretty much agreement with what you said, except for the fact that you're taking him over Gordon. I'm definitely not doing that. I have Gordon ahead of him. But I will say, to your point, by the way, this year, more than any other year I can remember, projecting, like you mentioned, like there are like five or six teams where I'm just like, don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm
New Orleans, New England, San Francisco, Denver. Yeah, there's quite a few teams.
It's just nuts. It's just nuts, really, more than usual. Okay, let's get to your final running back that you're avoiding. Who is it?
One of those teams that is very difficult to project, that is Philadelphia. And I'm going to go with Miles Sanders here as a player that I am avoiding heading into this year. Now, for all the talk that we've had with Miles Sanders in previous seasons, it's been that he is an incredibly talented running back. He's very efficient, shows flashes. He should be utilized more as a receiver out of the backfield. But Doug Peterson loves to utilize multiple running backs. And so now when Doug Peterson was fired from the Philadelphia Eagles, we go, all right, finally, this is Miles Sanders' season. And then we see Nick Sirianni be brought in from Indianapolis underneath Frank Reich. And what has Frank Reich done? Which actually Frank Reich underneath Doug Peterson. So the change just kind of continues.
Right.
He's utilized multiple running backs. We saw that last year, even with Jonathan Taylor having as talented of a running back as Jonathan Taylor, even though he saw the majority of the work as the season went along, you still saw Jordan Wilkins involved. You still saw Nyheim Hines involved. So Nick Sirianni is bringing over this mentality, and we've seen it play out in the offseason by their moves. We've seen them sign Kerryon Johnson in free agency right away as soon as he was released. They've still got Boston Scott on this roster, who's a capable receiver. Jordan Howard is still somehow on the depth chart. You've got, they drafted Kenneth Gainwell in the fifth round. So there is a very difficult path for Miles Sanders to see a significant workload here. And for an offense that I am not projecting to be a top 15 offense, which means that the scoring opportunities here are not going to be crazy for Miles Sanders, he's got to do it on the back of pure volume or insane efficiency. And that's just something that I can't project comfortably. And he's also got some injury risk to him too. So Miles Sanders, I've got, oh, it's funny. We're just going right down the board here. I've got Jacobs at 21, DeAndre Swift at 22, Miles Sanders, RB 23. I just don't see it here this year when we have guys like Kenneth Gainwell who can step in as he's a phenomenal receiver, guys. Like if you have not heard the name of Kenneth Gainwell, if you're just tuning in, rookie running back out of Memphis, you need to go to YouTube, watch his highlights, best pass catching back out of this entire draft, past draft class. No idea how he fell to the fifth round. He's going to be a factor as a receiver. So that just goes together for me to say Miles Sanders, I'm avoiding him.
I'm in agreement on this one. He's 18.3 in ADP. He's 20th in ECR. You said 23rd. I'm 22nd. So we're both fading him, certainly, as to where just the public and the other analysts are with him. I mean, again, we've listed the running backs already, but you're taking Carson over him, right?
Yes. Yep.
So am I. Yeah. Dave Montgomery?
I've got Carson at RB 15. So that's a drastic difference. Okay. And then I've got Montgomery at RB 20. So yeah,
but
right
still
in the
over. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I am too. And again, this is everything about this screams. We do not want Miles Sanders to be like our bell cow back, like everything about it. And like you said, he basically has to be the most efficient back in the league if he's going to kind of justify this ADP right here. So I'm fading him as well. Not a player who I'm going to have probably on any of my rosters, unless randomly we're in the same league and you and I make everything.
Right. We just play chicken. We just play
chicken
and let him fall.
In which case I am one spot higher on him than you are. So I'll be all over him. All right. So before I get to my last running back, you guys hear about Pristine Auction a ton on the show. There is a reason for that. It is because Pristine Auction is awesome. There are times where I want sports memorabilia, okay? And I go to pristineauction.com and I look for what I want. Maybe I put in a bid. I love Pristine Auction for that, but that's not when I love it the most. When I love it the most is when I'm not specifically looking for anything. Instead, I'm sitting at my desk after working and I need like a 10-minute break, and that is not enough time for a House Hunters episode, but that is a lifetime if you want to just browse on Pristine Auction. Sometimes I want to look at historical items. Sometimes I want to look at movie posters. Sometimes I randomly find a signed Travis Etienne jersey for $56 because that's what pristineauction.com is, a place with thousands of auctions daily, tons of items in every single category, free to register, free to browse, free to bid. You can be a hero to your kid if you randomly bid on a Mike Trout bobblehead doll because it's not that expensive and you wind up winning it. And there you go, your father of the year. Go to pristineauction.com. Use our code FantasyPros in the registration field. You will get a $5 credit. That also helps us out because they know that you heard about them from us. Again, that's pristineauction.com. PRISTINE auction.com. All right, I'll give my last running back. And truthfully, Miles Sanders.
Are you a House Hunters guy?
Of course. Well, this is the best part. My kids have discovered House Hunters. Okay. So we're always looking for movies. We've gone through the Marvel movies like 40 times. There are just so many Disney things. So randomly, my daughter, who basically thinks that we're poor because we don't have a swimming pool in our house, she's like very materialistic. She loves watching it. And it's hilarious because I've started them on it. And my son, Will, has very strong feelings about what house these people should take. He's constantly like, you guys are the worst at choosing houses. It was obviously number two. So yes, we are into it now. Are you guys into it as well?
No, my parents are. So I guess that checks out because you're about as old as my parents. So
that's true. I'm 90 on the inside, so we're fine. Anyway, I have a running back to talk about, and it would have been Miles Sanders, but you aptly named him first. So I'll talk about Chase Edmonds, who, again, we talked about in the last show. I won't belabor it too much. He's got an ADP of 25. He's got an ECR of 26. He's got a DAN of 28. I don't know what to call my own rankings, but whatever. Look, bottom line is this. I don't know why we think that Chase Edmonds is suddenly going to be able to handle an even regular workload for a running back. He has received double-digit carries three times in his three-year career. Three times, okay? He had five touchdowns last year. Four of them came on receptions that were kind of bonkers if you watch them. So I do not expect any of that to go on. I think James Conner is being undervalued. Again, I mentioned this last show. Don't want to belabor it. But I think James Conner is being undervalued. I know his contract isn't huge or anything like that. But James Conner is a talented running back. He just can't handle a huge workload. So I think as they get into it, they're going to realize that Edmonds can be a fine passing downs back, but Conner should probably be the primary running down guy. And when they're at the near the goal line, you're going to see a ton of Kyler Murray, unless, you know, again, they get a little nervous about the fact that he was injured last year and he is a slight guy. They have to be careful with how much he runs. He's going to be the goal line back. But if there is another goal line back, it's going to be Connor. It is not going to be Edmonds because Connor is really, really good when you get near the end zone. So I'm not sure when I get down to this range, Yates, and I look at the guys who are going around him, he's just not a guy. I mean, I mentioned Melvin Gordon. I'll take Gordon over him, you know, not anything too crazy. But I just, he's a guy who I'm fading at his current ADP of 25.
Where do you have him ranked again?
I have him 28th. Let me guess, you have him 90th.
I have him at 36.
Oh my gosh.
It is just like, I have him with a heavy workload as far as, you know, I've got him with 82 targets on the season. But unless we see something happen to James Conner, like I've only got Edmonds with 119 rush attempts on the season as far as projections. So again, trying to just build into that equals out to 7 carries per game, you know, just kind of maxing it out there. So maybe he switches with Connor, who I've got at 9.8 carries per game. Maybe that switches and we do see Edmonds be the quote unquote starter. That would bump him up a little bit, but not enough to justify spending to view him as a high end RB3.
Yeah, I mean, I have Connor with more carries than him as well. I have him with 135 carries, though, Edmonds. So I have him a little more. And I don't know how many reception dates, because I've got him for 49.
You keep making me scroll everywhere.
I'm so sorry. You were just talking about the guy.
61 receptions.
Okay, interesting. So that's interesting that in the end that comes down to wherever you said you had him, 36. Oh, my gosh.
Only by the way, 5 total touchdowns in the season.
Okay, yeah. Well, I only have 6, so weird. Yep. We got to look at our... Although, again, this is a range where I take away a touchdown, I take away a few yards receiving, I take away a few receptions. It's a big move at that point. But great. Overall, fade Chase Edmonds. Way to be. Let's get to wide receivers now, Yates. Give me a wide receiver you're avoiding this year.
Yeah, this is going to tick some people off. Mike Evans. Mike Evans currently being valued as wide receiver 13 in ADP consensus. I've got him farther down the board than that. Let's go back to last year when we were talking about Mike Evans in the middle part of the season, and we were talking about him potentially being dropped in some leagues. Now, I don't think that you and I ever got to that point where we were like, drop Mike Evans, but he was so incredibly volatile last year where he had games where 1, 2, 3 targets. There were plenty of games where that was the case, and he saved his fantasy day on the back of scoring a touchdown, right? Like it was the patented 1 reception for 2 yards and a touchdown game. And for now, moving into next year, we do have Giovanni Bernard in the fold as a receiver out of the backfield. That takes away some targets. You have Chris Godwin fully healthy. You have Antonio Brown fully healthy. You have Rob Gronkowski fully healthy. OJ Howard coming back into the fold. So now it's when you sit down and you do projections, it's like, well, Chris Godwin, I feel like is the unanimous. I mean, disagree with me if you got something different, but like, I feel like he's the wide receiver 1 in this offense in terms of targets. I feel like that's where the ball is going to go the majority of the time. Godwin's an incredibly safe option. So I think with Evans, he's going to have to find targets in this offense, which I don't know if that's going to be a guarantee. And then he's going to have to score a ridiculous amount of touchdowns in order to justify a wide receiver 13 price tag. So Mike Evans here, I've got him, I think, just inside my top 24 wide receivers on the year. I think that we are remembering what Evans did towards the end of last year when Godwin was banged up, when we didn't have a receiving presence out of the backfield, and just projecting that into next year. And we're completely forgetting about what life was like when Evans was only seeing 1 to 3 targets per game.
Okay. So this is like a major fade then. So let's, and I'm fading him compared to ADP of 12.7, ECR of 14, I am 17. So I'm lower than him. I'm probably not going to get any shares of him. When you're in that range and you've got to choose between like three or four guys, the guy who goes to the back of the line there, you're not going to get. So I'm going to fade him not as much as you. So here's what I'm going to do, Yates. I'm going to name a couple of guys that are right behind him in ECR. I'm assuming that you're taking all these guys over Evans, but right. You say yay or nay, you're taking CeeDee Lamb above Evans.
Yes.
Chris Godwin, obviously, you mentioned.
Yes, I've got Godwin at 11 and then Evans at 22. So
Robert, yeah, we're not in the same vicinity. I'm going to hold on. We're getting there. Robert Woods.
I've got Woods at wide receiver 13. I love Woods this year.
So do I. I love him every year. I don't know why Nobody else has DJ. Right. Every year we're like Robert Woods, undervalued. DJ Moore.
Oh, we're closer. Let me find out where I've got DJ Moore. I've got him at 19. So we're closer, okay. But I would still take him.
Last two, actually. Cooper Kupp.
I would take Kupp there. Again, we're right neck and neck, but I would take Cooper Kupp.
All right. Finally, let's talk about a guy whose value is largely tied to his end zone proclivity as well, and that is Adam Thielen.
As soon as you said end zone, I was like, it's Adam Thielen. I am going to bet on that efficiency again next year. I'll take Thielen.
Okay. All right. Well, you were really fading Evans. Again, I the rationale is completely understandable, and I certainly have him lower generally. I just think that the Bucs offense is going to be, you know, it's going to have enough of volume in the passing game that it is going to be able to support a guy, both Godwin and Evans, in this. And how many, last question, I guess, how many touchdowns do you have for Evans?
For Evans, I have 9.
Okay, yeah. So for me, right, with the touchdowns, that's interesting. I would have expected less, Yates, because for you to have 9 touchdowns and for him to still be down in that range, what's your total yardage for him?
Yeah. So my stat, I'll just save the entire set.
Yeah,
so
save
107 targets, 70 receptions, 973 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah. So you're fading a little bit on the receptions and you're fading a little bit on the yardage, but your touchdowns are pretty much there. It's not, again, I hate to keep saying this, but it is fair because that's a big number that Yates is sort of differentiating from both ECR and ADP. But for the most part, it's not like I have him 5 more receptions, like 120 more yards and the same number of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference, right, in the rankings and what it is. Yep. But realistically, that's like a maybe half a catch per game.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 yards.
And again, like I would love to have Evans on my roster, like I said at the top, but as a wide receiver too, a low end wide receiver too, where I can live with the ups and downs, the volatility at wide receiver 13, you cannot live with that volatility. He has to hit for you. So I just don't know if that's a guarantee.
I think that's all fair. Before we get into my receiver, let's talk about the fact that medical emergencies are just things we don't really plan for, but we need to be ready for it because what usually comes with a medical emergency, unfortunately, is a giant bill. Sometimes that comes from when you stay in the hospital itself, but sometimes, as people don't realize, it comes actually from the transporting you from wherever you need to be taken to the hospital. And that's why there's Air Medcare Network, which helps you rest a little bit easier because members get world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses, not a dime. It's a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships to Air Medcare Network cost as little as $85 for the year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just go to airmedcarenetwork.com/Fantasy Pros and use the code Fantasy Pros. All right, a wide receiver I'm avoiding, Yates. I know you agree with this because I read your article and I was glad to see that he was on that list as well. It's Tyler Lockett. He is 22nd in ADP. He is 23rd in ECR. He is 28th in my heart. It's really just consistency.
Is that what you're calling your rankings now?
I need to come up with something, all right? I don't know. I need something.
I like it.
All right, in my heart. There you go. It's just consistency. Yeah, it's sort of like the same thing with Jacobs. Like he ended up great as a wide receiver 1, but you never felt that way except for 2 random weeks, really, or 3 random weeks if you play into week 17, where he just dominated. Other than that, 9 of his 10 touchdowns came in 4 games. 2 of them were in week 17, by the way, where it didn't even matter. Look, from weeks 12 through week 16, right? That's when it matters. If you made the playoffs, if you got there, wide receiver 53 in half PPR leagues. There's just no way that you can feel comfortable with it. And again, they not only re-signed Chris Carson, but they got rid of Brian Schottenheimer because he doesn't run the ball enough. Like, where are we in this that we're going to be dealing with that? We are going with guys that, again, they're not going to let Russ cook. It's going to be the run game again. So I'm avoiding him. I'm taking guys like Cooper Kupp, Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, even Odell Beckham, frankly, I will take over Tyler Lockett.
So I'm going to disagree with something that you said there, and it's not about Tyler Lockett his ranking or anything like that. I got him at wide receiver 29. So I'm right there with you. But the thing that you said about Schottenheimer and not wanting to run the ball, that I think is not the reason why they got rid of him and moved to Shane Waldron, who they brought over as the OC from Los Angeles. The reason why they brought over Waldron was because Schottenheimer's offense was a very run and then vertical attack, right? Which is, it fits perfectly for Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. But the issue was defenses started to figure that out. You look at Russ's splits from the first part of the season, he was the QB1 in all of fantasy football in the first half of the year. You go to the second half of the year, he was the QB12 in all of fantasy football. So defenses started to figure out this offense, and they said that if we can take away the sidelines, the vertical threat in this offense, and we have to have Seattle beat us with David Moore underneath as their slot receiver or their tight ends that they had, you know, Will Disley, who was in and out of the lineup, stuff like that, they were comfortable living with that. And that's why we saw this offense take a step back, was because they didn't have, in the offensive structure, they didn't have answers. That now with Shane Waldron, with more of a horizontal passing attack, you're still going to have vertical threats there with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf's going to be just fine. Don't worry about him. But this is the reason why they drafted Dwayne Eskridge in the second round, was to be able to give them some speed in the horizontal aspects of the game underneath, where Eskridge is going to be able to get free and be able to create after the catch with his speed, which is something that Lockett is not known for, and DK Metcalf certainly can't do. Metcalf's known more for his vertical presence. So I think that was the reason why they moved on from Schottenheimer, was to be able to give this offense more answers. I don't think that we're going to see them necessarily move away completely from the passing game and go completely run heavy. It's just that they wanted more answers in their offensive structure. So that's why I really like this offense moving into next year. It's why I really like Dwayne Eskridge. So that's, I think, part of it and what goes into it. It's just not enough then leftover volume for Tyler Lockett to eat.
So I think that's an absolutely fair clarification. Again, I think we can assume that Waldron, who was, again, the passing game coordinator for the Rams for the last three seasons, is probably going to bring more of that. But again, Yates, regardless of anything else, they do not seem inclined to get away from a run heavy approach generally.
I don't think we're going to see suddenly start passing 40 times per game.
Exactly. So I it's a good clarification. I think, though, in the end, again, they are committed to making sure, again, and that's why Carson, I don't think any of us expected Carson to be back this year anyway, going into it. And I think that there's a reason for it. So again, with this, you're absolutely right, though, in terms of how you're looking at generally. I just think with Metcalf, especially, like, please do not fade DK Metcalf whatsoever.
Right.
But with Lockett, he's just a guy that there's no way I'm going. Once upon a time, I adored Tyler Lockett, but at this point, I think you got to fade him, especially at that ADP. Let's get to your next wide receiver. Who you got?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Juju Smith-Schuster here. And obviously with last year, that was a massive disappointment for what we expect. And really, the past couple seasons have been a massive disappointment for Smith-Schuster, who once upon a time was considered to be the wide receiver one in all of Dynasty. And now a couple years down the road, and I don't want to touch Juju Smith-Schuster with a 10-foot pole here. With this offense now in Pittsburgh, the offensive line taking a major step backwards, we see them commit to the run game now and having at least answers there with Najee Harris in the first round, who's going to be able to withstand a significant workload. I think we're going to see the pass attempts here for this offense. An aging Big Ben plays a role in this too. We're going to see the pass attempts for this offense come crashing down. And I think that we're going to see with the investment too of Pat Freiermuth in the second round, and we're going to see a lot of two tight end sets here in Pittsburgh. And what does that do? That takes the slot receiver off the field. So when you have Deontay Johnson, who has a clear role as an outside receiver in this offense, you have Chase Claypool, who came out of nowhere and really impressed last year. I think that he's going to take a major step forward in year two. It takes Juju off the field, except for on clear and obvious passing downs. And so the overall target volume, the overall passing volume, is now getting cut down. So we're not going to see all three of these guys be viable week in and week out options. And Juju Smith-Schuster is now being taken off the field. And what does that do when you're looking at their ADP, where all three of these guys are in the wide receiver 20 range? I mean, you've got Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 22. You've got Claypool at wide receiver 27. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Juju Smith-Schuster is at 29. Like, Juju Smith-Schuster is not returning wide receiver 29 value. He's going to have to score a ridiculous amount of touchdowns, and I just don't want to bet on that. So I've got Smith-Schuster way down the board here because I cannot find the target volume if he's not going to be on the field as much as he has been in years past. And for Juju, they only signed him to a one-year, like, what was it, $4 million deal? He was hanging out on the free agent market. So I think that they were comfortable moving into next year saying that we can find a cheap replacement as a slot receiver because we're not going to have a clear role. But Juju wanted to stay here with Pittsburgh, with the team that he loves. And I don't fault him for that, but I just don't think that the production is going to be there unless we were to see something happen to Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool.
Okay, so you said you have him way down there. What's way down there?
I have Juju Smith-Schuster right now at wide receiver 51.
Oh my gosh, Yates. Okay, so let's just go to ECR, okay? And let's go right now in ECR. Jalen Waddle is the 51st wide receiver. Are you drafting Waddle or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Give me Waddle all day long.
All right, Marvin Jones is the 50th wide receiver. Are you taking Marvin Jones?
Now we're in the same range. I've got Jones at 52.
Okay, so that's where you are. How about Michael Pittman Jr.?
Give me Pittman.
You know that
I love Michael Pittman.
You know that's the answer. Last one, Mike Williams.
I do not have Mike Williams ranked highly at all. I have him at 63, so okay. I will take Smith-Schuster there.
Okay, so I a guy who I listed as somebody who I was avoiding was Claypool, so I'm interested to hear you thinking that he's going to take a step forward. Again, for me, my reasoning was, and it's not a major, when you fade a guy, kudos to you, Yades, you fade the heck out of them. I like it. I'm more like, oh, you've got an ADP of 27.3. He's 32nd in my ranking. So that for me is enough of a fade where I'm off him. But again, the big thing for me was number one, the return of Juju Smith-Schuster. Number two, the fact that they drafted Najee Harris. And I think they're going to want to lean into the run a lot more. I mean, Ben had 608 pass attempts last year in 15 games. I've got him at 609 this year in 17 games. So I think that the passing volume is generally going to go down. I think even if Claypool plays more of than the 63% of the snaps that he played last year, that just his general efficiency is going to go down, or not his efficiency, but his target, just, you know, volume per game is going to go down. So I have him, you know, sort of being better like everybody because it's 17 games. But again, for me, unless, you know, he scored 11 touchdowns last year, 9 receiving, 2 rushing. If he gets that again, great. I have him at 7. So that's probably where, the difference comes in. But for me, I'm fading him a little bit. I would take somebody like DJ Chark over him, but you're a little more bullish than on Claypool.
Yeah, with Claypool, I mean, it's hard not to be excited about this guy. Viewing what he did in year one, I mean, 109 targets last year, 62 receptions, 873 yards, and 9 touchdowns. So, I mean, with Claypool, I've got him 107 targets on the year, 63 receptions, 948 receiving yards, and 8 touchdowns. With Smith-Schuster, I've got him at 95 targets, 68 receptions, 700. Because let's not pretend that Juju Smith-Schuster is like the model of efficiency, you know? Sure. So it's like, you know, I've only got him with 10.5 yards per reception. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to be enough for him to be able to get into this range of returning value at wide receiver 29 or whatever he's being drafted at. So, I mean, unless you're projecting ridiculous things from Ben as far as passing touchdowns, I just don't see Smith-Schuster like hitting 8+ touchdowns, and that with the volume concerns that I have, that's not going to be enough for Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that I'm lower on Smith-Schuster. You're just basically like, do not draft. But where do you have Claypool out of curiosity in your ranks?
Yeah, that's going to be the difference. Is if you're a little bit lower on Claypool, then you're probably designating those targets to go to Smith-Schuster.
Right.
So with Claypool, I've got him at wide receiver 28.
Okay. All right. I think that's fair. And really, that's when I'm looking at it. That's really what it is. It's the difference between Smith-Schuster and Claypool. But again, it's not a crazy amount that I'm 32 on Claypool right now. So it's not like I'm like, oh God, run away from him. Like you are, don't ever draft. Juju Smith-Schuster might actually be on your do not draft list, even though we said
probably
we don't have that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to your last wide receiver here before we very quickly run through our quarterbacks and tight ends. Who do you got?
You know what? This one is not necessarily something that like I have a ton of stats to bring to the table and be like, this is why this, you know, it's Brandon Cooks. And primarily this is because I just don't want any shares of this offense. Like what is the upside to drafting a David Johnson or Brandon Cooks when you're in this range where they're going? And Cooks is, I think last I checked, wide receiver 37 in
38.
So it's like in that range, why I want to take some guy. I want to take shots on guys. Like I want to start taking some shots on guys that are going to be flex plays for me or guys that I can rotate through at the wide receiver position. Whereas with Cooks, like he might bring a safe floor each week, maybe, but that floor is really, really low. And I just don't see the upside here. So with Brandon Cooks, it's more so like, I'm not going to fault you if you draft Brandon Cooks this year, because I do think that he can at least finish around this range. And this is the difference of guys that like, they can finish in that range when the year's all done. But when you look back on it, kind of like Josh Jacobs last year, you're like, how? How did they finish at this range? And that's kind of, I think, what I think we're going to see with Brandon Cooks this year. I don't want any shares of the Houston Texans.
First of all, you cannot fade a take that says I'm not drafting Texans, because that's totally fine. I view it a little differently than David Johnson, if for no other reason than the absolutely crazy crowded backfield that you have in Houston makes me think, like, even if everything works perfectly, I'm just not going to love a whatever 29-year-old David Johnson. Cook's a little different to me. I agree I'm not excited about it, but it's different to me than when I get to that point in my rankings where I see David Johnson. I'm like, I have David Johnson ranked here. I have David Johnson projected here. I am not drafting David Johnson here because I just don't want to. Cooks I can live with just because he always figures out a way to be a top 15 wide receiver, and I get it. Like, right. That doesn't mean anything, right? Because you look at the end of the year, and Tags always, you know, yells about this. Who cares where somebody finishes? I agree, but, you know, if it's Tyrod Taylor, he's going to get a million targets. They're probably going to be decently, you know, accurate, and he's got, you know, he's the only game in town, really, there, you know, with Fuller gone and everything like that. So, for me, I'm willing to draft him right around his ADP at 38. I'm not running away from him, but again, fading Texans cannot be like a what are you doing in this year, you know?
Yeah, and I'm like, fine with it. Yeah, and it's like we talked about with the previous episode. It's like David Johnson, I've got at RB32, which is right in line with his ADP. Brandon Cooks, I've got at wide receiver 39. So it's like in normal circumstances, I would probably be like, yeah, draft these two guys. But when you take into the greater context, that's just enough for me to say, nah, I'll let someone else deal with them.
All right, let's go back to you here for your quarterback, and let's talk about why you're wrong in fading this player right now. Go ahead with your quarterback.
Anyone who has followed along this offseason knows that that's Jalen Hurts for me. Where Jalen Hurts, I think, can be very, very valuable for fantasy football, but I think the difference here is that he falls into the streaming quarterback conversation more so than a locked-in starter. And where we're seeing his ADP start to move to, and specifically the guys that he's being drafted over, that's probably the main part of Jalen Hurts and why I am at least avoiding him this year, is because of the guys that he's going over that I feel like are safer bets. With Jalen Hurts, I have his tape going back to Alabama, to Oklahoma. There has been plenty on tape to make me concerned about him as a passer. And the concern moving into this year is, what if NFL defenses go into the same mindset that they did with Mitchell Trubisky? The Packers were very famous for that quote after week one, right? It was the kickoff of, I think, the 100th season, right? And they had that quote where it said, we knew that if we could make Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback, we could win. And I think it's the same thing with Drew Locke from last year, where it's like, if we can force this guy to play quarterback and to beat us as a quarterback, then I think that we can win and we can shut him down. And I just don't see enough on tape from Jalen Hurts to make me believe that he can take a massive step forward as a passer, not only from just his tape and what I've seen previously, but then also he doesn't have like any true playmakers. Like DeVonta Smith is probably his best receiver, and he's an incoming rookie. And yes, DeVonta Smith is incredibly talented and he's coming off the best college football season for a wide receiver ever, but that's a massive projection to say that DeVonta Smith is suddenly going to cure all the ailments that Hurts has as a passer. So there's a ton here with the offensive line coming up on its last leg. There's a ton here for me to just say, I'm letting someone else roll the dice, and I will gladly take a Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, the next three guys that are up in ADP over Jalen Hurts this year.
Yeah, I'm taking him over all those guys. I mean, his ADP is 10. You're nuts, whatever. We also had this debate, by the way, last year on Dan and Kyle in the morning where we were talking about him. You did not want any part of Jalen Hurts when he filled in at the end of last year, if I remember correctly, right? I'm not making that up. I think you didn't want
it. I had him in that same range. I had him as a streaming quarterback. And there was a very tough matchup up against, I think, the Saints. And I went into it with the mindset of, well, okay, NFL defenses are going to be able to figure out, just run contain on the edges, and you're going to keep Hurts in the pocket and you'll be able to beat him. And they didn't do that. And Hurts was still able to, you know, rack up rushing total. So I think he can absolutely do that. But the difference here is that I've got Jalen Hurts with only 17 passing touchdowns on the year. Like, Jalen Hurts is not Lamar Jackson, and he's not going to receive that, you know, where he's going to be able to create on his own ridiculously as a runner. Like, he's going to, the majority of his rushes last year, I've been going back through his tape on Game Pass, the majority of his rushes last year were scrambles. So if you can eliminate that, beat him and force him to beat you as a passer, I just think that's... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, it was that point that I wanted to hit on. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, you know, you're right. He did have 46 rush attempts, which would be the most ever in NFL history if you extrapolate that over a full season. So I don't expect that, but also, remember, this isn't last year when he's just kind of thrown in because the team was an absolute disaster and sure, just sort of like, sure, okay, gotta figure this out, buddy. And you have zero at wide receiver. You're right, Smith is a rookie, but he's a huge upgrade over what he was looking at the end of last year. And you have a new coaching staff who has the offseason to design an offense around him, you know, who are smart guys with Sirianni and Steichen. So they're going to be able to figure out how to design without him. Again, even last year, Yates, put aside everything else, like they didn't even have like a preseason, right? Because you don't even have the preseason games to warm up in it. He's just kind of thrown in, he's scrambling. And yet, with all of that, with a horrible offensive line, with absolutely no playmakers to help him out, with a dude who's just kind of running around, with, by the way, a last week game where he's pulled early for absolutely no reason. He's
for a
still
draft pick
basically
is the reason.
Right. Oh, yes, correct. And a reason, but you know what I mean. Yeah. That there's nothing that I've seen that basically makes me think, oh boy, I don't want to draft this guy as my QB1 and a decent QB1 here. I've got him at 9. I just think that the rushing floor is going to be so high that he's going to just fall into that.
Again, it's fair. I totally get it. And JJ Zacharyson, good friend of the podcast over at Number Fire and FanDuel, he and I had like this debate on Twitter the other day, which was fantastic. I love talking with JJ, one of the smartest guys
that
I know. And he's on the pro Jalen Hurts side of this. And so he and I were going back and forth, and he brought up an excellent point. Like, we each had points that were valid, and, you know, there's reasons to love Jalen Hurts. There's reasons to be skeptical. And the point that he brought up that was really good was, where you're drafting him right now, it's not going to cripple your team. So right, if he does take that step forward as a passer, which I don't think he's going to be able to do, but I can absolutely be wrong, then you've got a potential league winner because he does bring that rushing floor. So I definitely get that. My concern is where I've seen some people say that Jalen Hurts, and this was early on in the offseason, I haven't seen it as much right now, but where some very respected names in the fantasy football industry have said Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback. And that is going to be like, if that's right in your face, specifically for the people who are now coming back to the table and they start drafting him at that point where we start to see his ADP rise up even further, that's the point where I just want to kind of be like, let's pull the reins back here a little bit. Let's kind of keep things measured and just say, like, let's just temper expectations here with Jalen Hurts.
All right. So you mentioned Joe Burrow is a guy who you would take over Jalen Hurts. Burrow is my QB to avoid. Now,
no, Dan.
Hold on. It has to be qualified, though. Okay. Burrow is 13th in ADP. He is 13th in expert consensus rankings, and he is 13th in the heart of Dan Harris. Okay. So this is like, what do you mean that you're fading the guy? But I'm listing him here because, Yates, when I've done drafts, and we're at the point where you and I are doing drafts already, when I have done drafts, I'm always looking and saying, okay, how many QBs are left essentially before I get to Burrow, which ends a tier essentially for me. And if there's one or two, if Matthew Stafford is the only other guy left to Burrow, or Tannehill or Brady or something like that, then I'm making my move on that guy because I do not want to get left with Burrow. Now, I want to make it clear, long term, I love Joe Burrow. If I knew Joe Burrow were healthy, I would absolutely have him there. But let's just break this down very quickly, okay? Burrow had surgery in December, okay? Recovery from a torn ACL, from surgery to repair a torn ACL, averages 9 months. The Bengals initially estimated 8 to 9 months. 9 months puts us at September 1st, okay? So you're like, well, all right, well, but it's Joe Burrow. He's young. He's great. That's for an ACL tear. Yates, I'm going to ask you a question. What exactly happened to Joe Burrow's knee last year?
I don't know.
Nobody knows because nobody is out there basically saying this is exactly what Joe Burrow, unless I missed it. This is not, we're like, well, this is torn ACL. He also, I think he damaged his MCL.
There's some other
PCL
stuff there. Yeah.
His patella was also, this is like a total knee reconstruction. So what I know is that if the average recovery time from an ACL, you know, recovery from surgery to repair a torn ACL is 9 months, then the average recovery time for a holy crap, my knee exploded is probably a little bit more. I'm not a doctor, even though I play one on TV. Maybe Burrow is maybe able to make it back without any restrictions. But yeah, the Bengals are not going to make the playoffs this year, okay? Why would you risk your franchise quarterback, who you have long-term next 10, 15 years, and push him back before he's 100% ready? Remember what they did with Joe Mixon. You've talked about it a lot. If they just put him on IR right off the bat, they were just careful with him. why would they not be that way with Burrow? And even if he does come back on time, yet even if he, everything's roses right now, even if he does come back, do you just think that he's going to come back and be like, great, I'm here, no restrictions. My offensive line's better. It's still not elite. It's better. I'm going to run around like a crazy man. Part of my value comes from my legs. I'm not going to be a little freaked out when I'm in the pocket. There's just too much risk there for me. Now, the question is, well, all right, why do you have him at 13 then? Because I'm not moving him down. And are you fading his wide receivers? He's at 13 because then there's a giant teardrop after that. That's the last kind of, like, Trevor Lawrence, Kirk Cousins, Tua, Wentz, Fields. I'm just not taking those guys over Burrow if it comes down to that. As for the receivers, they're all immensely talented. They can probably produce even if Burrow is a little limited. And I think the risk of Burrow's performance is more of a risk to him than it is a wide receiver production. So that's a lot of talking, but in the end, he is where at, I have him at ADP and ECR, but he's still somebody who I'm fading.
Well, that's fair. And I think that there's reason to be concerned about him coming back that quickly off of, I mean, we all saw the injury. Like, it was absolutely just gruesome. So I totally get that. I think this is a situation that we'll have to kind of play it fluidly to be able to see, all right, through training camp, throughout the preseason, what's the latest news on Joe Burrow? Are we seeing that he's back on the field and rehabbing? Are we seeing that he's starting to practice with the team? Is like these different things, if he signals that he's ready to go week one, and that he has no limitations, like we're seeing, this is not the same ACL injuries that we had several years ago. I mean, technically it is, but like players are coming back from it so much faster than they have in history. So I think with Burrow, it's going to be something that we have to monitor. I'm going to be interested to see. I've got him at QB12 right now. And that's projecting him to play all 17 games. So if he does, if we do get some news that he's going to miss the first 2 weeks of the season, of course, he's going to move down my rankings because I'm going to eliminate him from those games. So that's just something I'm going to double back. I'm going to set a reminder here with Siri. And I'm going to say, all right, double back here in late August with me. And we're going to talk to Dan and we're going to see if he's still avoiding Joe Burrow.
Yes, that's a good one. And again, this is as of right now, I'm certainly avoiding Joe Burrow doing drafts right now. I'm not optimistic, even though everything looks great right now, that it's going to be just all peaches and cream when we get there. So I'm probably going to wind up keeping him on my avoid list. But we'll see. Let's finish up with tight ends here. Yates, not a huge thing, I'm sure, because I doubt there are too many, you know, all your tight ends past the top three stink. So give me a tight end who you're avoiding at his current ADP.
It's Noah Fant. And I'm really confused how he is tight end 7 in our ADP consensus. I've been in several leagues that, you know, mock drafts that have seen Noah Fant go as the tight end 11, tight end 12. And that's, I think, more appropriate for what we can project for this year. Tight end 7 is just a little bit too egregious for me. Where we talked about Denver and projecting them early on, when you sit down and you do projections for Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams out of the backfield, Melvin Gordon, you got Noah Fant, you have Albert Okwuegbunam, you have KJ Hamler here too. This Tim Patrick, CPA. There are so many options in this offense where it's like, how is Noah Fant with Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback or Drew Locke, who we haven't seen great things from, how is he going to return that value? While I think Noah Fant is an incredibly talented tight end and the sky is the limit, this is, I think, drafting him as if Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver is happening. That's where I think Noah Fant would be drafted at tight end 7, if we knew that Aaron Rodgers was coming into town, but he's not, at least right now. So I think tight end 7, way too high.
So where do you have him?
I have Noah Fant currently at tight end 16.
This is really fun for me because you were like, oh God, I was not prepared for that question.
I was not ready for that question. I was trying to pull the right tab.
So you have him at 16. Would you prefer him or, well, this is just fun to ask, Jonnu Smith?
Yeah, you got Jonnu Smith at tight end 7.
Oh, goodness. Always. Evan Ingram.
I have Evan. You want to know where I've got Evan Ingram?
Is he actually on your tight end board or is he off the board?
Guess where I've got Evan Ingram.
21.
Keep going.
30.
Yeah. Tight end 30.
Oh my gosh. I love you, Yates, so much. Last one, Irv Smith.
I have Irv Smith 2 spots behind Noah Fant.
Okay. All right. Fine. The guy who I'm avoiding.
And again, 1 touchdown and Noah Fant jumps up to tight end 12.
In particular with tight ends, you adjust the projection a minor amount. Everything changes.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
All right. I will list my guy who I'm avoiding, who is Robert Tonyan. Look, he has an average ADP of 14. I think that's really just because of no Rodgers. He's got an ECR of 10 last I checked. I'm at 12th. The touchdowns are unsustainable. I'm assuming Rodgers is back, by the way. I feel pretty confident that he's going to be. He was 24th at the position in targets. So you're like, okay, great. Maybe he's targeted a ton in the red zone. No, 11 red zone targets. That was 19th among tight ends. And when he doesn't score a touchdown, his finishes were the tight end 28 in those games. Tight end 26, 28th, 5th, 45th, 18th, and 46th. So if you just kind of walk back his touchdowns to a normal rate, it's just he's going to be somebody who's going to be maybe a borderline starter, but not somebody who I'm going after. Yates, I assume you have Robert Tonyan ranked like third overall or something like that. So
you're close. I have Robert Tonyan at tight end 6. So
go ahead.
I love doing podcasts with you, by the way. with Tonyan, it's one of those cases where you got to take a leap of faith in projecting. And there are certain players that you do that. Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Like these players that, as far as expected receiving touchdowns, where you take the average of the number of yardage, every certain number of yards a touchdown was scored last year. You take the yards divided by total touchdowns, and you get your expected receiving touchdown rate based off of that. So with Robert Tonyan, where I've got him with 81 targets on the year, 63 receptions, 675 yards, he should finish with 5 receiving touchdowns. If that's the case, he drops down to tight end 12, tight end 13, mm-hmm. tight end 14 yep. in that range. Got him with 8 on the year. He scored 11 last year. So
yeah.
With Tonyan, you're taking a little bit of a leap of faith, but if it is Aaron Rodgers in town, I'm perfectly comfortable taking that leap of faith and ranking Tonyan as a top 6 tight end.
Yeah, that's the difference. I have him 4-5, and that for 5 touchdowns, and that's where it is. Now, I think we can all just agree on one thing, that whatever you do, you take Robert Tonyan over Jonnu Smith, because Jonnu Smith.
I actually have Tonyan with one fantasy point over Jonnu Smith.
I heard you say you had him 6th, you had him 7th. I'm, you know, close. I'm 12th and then 13th. So whatever, Jonnu. Jonnu, we love you if you listen to this podcast. Don't worry. You know, I'm just teasing Yates. Okay, Yates, this was great. I love talking to you, man. I missed it.
It's so much fun.
We should do more. Let's do it more.
Come back.
We'll do it a couple more times. But for now, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you to Fantrax. Remember, totally customizable, super easy to use, and you can potentially win a free signed Josh Allen jersey when you go to Fantrax.com/fantasypros. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Thousands of auctions every single day. Free to register, free to bid. Use our code FANTASYPROS for a $5 credit. Finally, thanks to Air Medcare Network. Remember, protect you, protect your loved ones. Get the peace of mind that you deserve. Go to airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS. Use offer code FANTASYPROS. You will get a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. That is it for me this week. It's been a great time catching up with all of you. Regular rotation starts up again later this week, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks for more podcasting. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.